Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Surprised by any of the findings that the auditors came up with, or did you know this was just almost a formality that it had just had to be brought to the light?
That's a good question. None of this was a reality to me. None of this was a revelation to me. So we knew, look, municipal economics is complex, and the way that our budgets are here in the city of Buffalo, they're really fluid. We have to wait for the tribal compact money to come in. We had a budget that was adopted that relies on $27 million from the sale of future ramps. And so when we not only adopted that budget, I've been monitoring, and I've not been a fan of the selling of the ramps for more of an urban planning standpoint, but from the new administration has confirmed the previous administration's numbers that those appraised values are coming in. And that with an initiation date by the city, once that authority and the appraisals are completely done, that if they initiate to the bond market within 60 days, the city could potentially see that influx of cash closing out the year.
And that would definitely help meet the shortfall that you got going on here, right? I mean,
correct.
You have like $47 million or somewhere in that number?
Correct. And what I want Buffalonians to know is that we are not in this financial position because we have too much debt. We have very low debt and almost arguably too low because we see the lack of repairs of infrastructure in our community centers. We're here because of we're structurally deficient. Our revenues do not meet expenses, and for well over since I first joined the council, and you can even look at the roll in March 2020, I even bring this up, that we're too reliant on one-shot revenues, and then it became ARP dollars, and then the game of the ARP dollars of not getting it out the door led to a positive variance because we saw accrued interest of that money sitting there. So all of those variables have led us here until now. But when I saw the previous headline that the city controller says we could be somewhere between 40 to 80 million, I have to push back, and that the alarm bell does not go that loud. The fact is the council has been pretty consistent in looking at what the controller states, what the administration states, and then monitoring all these revenues in real time to make sense of it to see how we close out our books of June of this year.
Let's be honest. Aren't we kind of talking doublespeak here? Because the average person, the average taxpayer is going to say they're in debt. Now, you're saying it's a structural deficit problem.
Correct.
But in essence, it's the same thing, really, isn't it? You don't have enough revenue to be able to run the city government. Isn't that true?
But it's not to pay off debt. It's because we can't make our expenses. So when you look at it, it's almost looking at your household. You have your fixed household expenses, but then your revenue or your salary kept decreasing, and then relying on other people's money to make your operating expenses. The two are separate. Our debt service is paid through our tax levy, and ultimately, as we see from the financials, is if we had a 2% increase for a longer duration of time, we would have almost probably an excess in revenue where we would have surpluses, where we'd be able to replenish those unassigned fund balances. We'd be able to make projects quicker. We'd have more liquidity to be able to address things that come to our city. And the first I come up off my hand is when we have snowstorms, we rely so heavily on private contractors, we need the liquidity of cash to be able to pay them. So that's where we are as a snapshot in time. I think the most thing that I'm going to be looking at is making sure that that parking ramp authority is up and running and that the appraisals are in, and that when Mayor Ryan then initiates that he's going to do that transaction, that those come into city coffers. Ultimately, I don't see where the mayor can present the council a budget without a tax increase. It's just not plausible. And as you know, raising taxes is not the only mechanism that can or even should be utilized, because we saw, I was smiling when the governor said she's not going to rule out not helping Buffalo, which I was very thrilled about, because those are how we're going to level off this structural imbalance, because it's going to be taxes, it's going to be other hotel occupancy tax, cannabis, it's going to be the tribal compact money, it's going to be hopefully an influx of more state aid that's remained flat for so long. So it's going to be a combination of all those things to truly identify and to close that structural imbalance that we have.
What do you say then to the Ryan administration that says they may borrow money to try to deal with, I believe they have used the word debt.
They used deficit bonds, and that right now is what I'm looking at. Is there's deficit bonds, there are deficit notes, there are RANs, there are a few mechanisms that you can use. I would say that I hope that the Ryan administration relies on the BFSA, and if they potentially have to borrow to close their gaps. I look at the Mayor Ryan's administration as having to make really hard choices and present it to the council on how to actually close the books and pay the bills.
What is the deficit number? Can you just kind of, there's a discrepancy and all that. Can you give me the number?
Yeah, I kind of say it's like raining cats and dogs. They're like, well, what day is today? Well,
yes.
If the tribal compact didn't come in, and if nobody paid taxes, and, you know, it's very fluid. And that's why I want people to know is, you know, these, you know, our historical trends are if the tribal compact money doesn't come in, the state has always given us a spin up saying we'll advance you the money and we'll take it when we close that. The parking ramp sale, that's $27 million on the budget book. That number on the piece of paper that has to come in. So if those two sources and state aid come in, we're at probably a structural deficit at, to close out the books in June of this year, about $12 million. That's what the mayor, Ryan's administration, said when they had won the election. And then I asked them last week, I said, your snapshot in time is what now? Not, you know, well, maybe Q2 could be different. What does quarter one show? And they have remained firm that it's to close out the books this year, it's $12 million. But what I'm trying to get good at trying to articulate my point at is just because we're a $12 million structural deficit in June doesn't mean that we're structurally imbalanced $30 to $40 million in the out years, because we're reliant on those revenues right now in real time.
What happens if that money doesn't come in? They don't sell the parking ramps. If the state can't help us out.
Then the Mayor Ryan is going to have to do some form of borrowing to be able to meet expenses and to keep the city operating. And, you know, we have to, that's the one thing about running a government. You can't just, you know, kind of pick up your marbles and go home. You have to continue to provide services so that we can continue to operate. And if we do this in the most efficient manner, we won't inflict pain on the taxpayers. And why I was so ardent at wanting to clear up of what the actual deficit is instead of reporting 80 or 40 is because we can't craft a budget or vote on one if we don't know an accurate snapshot in time, because all of those things are then evaluated. And I'm assuming that the mayor's new administration is evaluating that, because then that's how they're going to come up with what a tax increase would look like this year.
Are you, as the finance chair, are you concerned that if that money doesn't come in, or about even the $12 million number?
I'm right now, rely on history and historical tendencies. We've always gotten paid from the Seneca money. If not, the state's always stepped in for us. And I was initially skeptical about the parking ramp, so I'm not gonna not say that. But after now talking to Mayor Ryan's administration that confirmed the Scanlon administration's numbers, and they even provided more clarity about the transaction time, because I said, look, great. The numbers are still the same. We can get the appraisal. How long does it take for that money to become liquid to then come into city coffers so we can close out the books? And they said the initiation would be 60 days.
And as far as the police overtime, every meeting there's a discussion when it comes to finances about police overtime. two questions about this. Is there a way to get police overtime down, first of all? And second of all, is crime down because police overtime is up? I mean, more people working, so there's less crime, right?
I think that that's almost oversimplifying it sometimes. Okay. Because when you look at our budget book, you have to monitor the calls. So how many calls are police responding to? And then a lot of it is reliant on that current contract that they're operating on, where more senior members who get a higher rate get first dibs at the overtime instead of the rookies. I know that I have parts of B District, which is Allentown, Chippewa, Downtown, Canalside, where we have a ton of special events that require more manpower, more people on OT. Which then drives up the overtime costs. So to me, the way that we're going to truly be able to do that is Mayor Ryan going into the negotiating room and fixing that structurally within the contract, because once someone puts in for that time, then we're up to the contract to then pay that, to pay those dollars.
I got to be totally honest with you.
Please.
The average taxpayer, again, is going to be so confused, because I had Benjamin Swadekamp here about 2 or 3 weeks ago when you had him in for your... He told me $35 million. You're saying 12.5. I heard the controller say 42 million. Isn't this all a moving target? And maybe you don't know exactly what the exact debt figure is right now.
I think that that's the fairest grasp because of the fluidity of these numbers, because we're reliant right now. We're in the position as a municipal government where we're okay, these revenues are budgeted for, we're getting confirmation that we're supposed to get these numbers, and then on the other side, you have, you know, other expenses that come in always higher than what you anticipate. And what ultimately led to, in my opinion as finance chair, what led to speeding up this issue were those catastrophic claims that we ultimately settled pretty quick within the budget year that were completely under what we had adopted in the budget.
To follow up on his question, I mean, police overtime, things of that nature. It just doesn't seem like people on the council really know what the figure is. And I think the city, the administration is trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
So you can see the confusion for taxpayers.
Absolutely. And so from what I was told yesterday or last week by Ben Swanekamp and by the Commissioner Brown, was the operational deficit for this year that we close out our books in June, and then what the deficit would be moving forward after June of a new budget. So even that, and that's where I'm glad you asked that question, because even though we closed the books out this year, we said up, all of our revenues come in, fantastic, bills are paid, we're still left with a looming deficit in the out years because of our structural imbalance. And so I think that's what's really important to know. And thank you for clarifying me while I'm working through this through my brain.
It's confusing. Yeah.
Is closing out the books this year in June and making sure that we can make our operational expenses, that we don't end in the red in June. And then what Mayor Ryan's budget, and why it will probably be the most watched budget in 20 years that this city's ever had, is how does he get us out in the out years of a structural deficit? And that's what really we have to look at.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.